want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ruth, the first chapter, and book of Ruth, the first chapter, and try to be a blessing to you this morning. And I'll just go ahead and say this for those of you that are here. This sermon was what I was going to preach last Sunday evening, and I had plans of it. We thought about doing a Facebook Live again on Sunday evening, and but we decided not to. And anyhow, the Lord wouldn't allow me or wouldn't leave me alone about this. I'd talked to Jake about it, and the Lord just wouldn't leave me alone out of this passage of Scripture. And with a thought, and I hope that it'll bless your heart. But it was birthed over a week ago, about 2 weeks ago. And so if you don't try to say that the preacher was preaching to you, all right, or that I come up with this sermon just for you, okay? But this was something that the Lord gave me a few weeks ago, and the Lord, through providence and divine intervention, has brought us to this day. And this morning, Lord, to preach it, which means that there's somebody in here that needs to hear it. And you're here by divine appointment. I believe that. And so I ask you to pay attention, and because this may be just for you. God may have postponed this just for you this morning. All right. The book of Ruth and chapter number one. If you're there, I want you to say amen. I'm going to read a few verses at the beginning and a few verses at the end of the chapter, and then we'll use the entire book as our text. And all right, the Bible says in verse number one, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." I'll stop right there and just give you a kind of a background of Ruth. And Ruth is taking place during the book or during the time of Judges. If you know anything about your Bible, you'll know that this is how God led his people and delivered his people before he set King Saul over his people. And so we see the timing of this book and where it fits in to history. We also see that there was a famine in the land of Bethlehem, Judah at the time. And there was a certain man who took his family and his wife and his children, and he went to sojourn in the country of Moab, which was a pagan country. And let me say that there's two things here. One, if God sends you to a place and God puts you in his promised land, God will take care of you there. Somebody say amen. You don't have to leave it. But at the same time, I want you to notice how the devil works in our lives. And the Bible says that his ideology was just to go and sojourn for a time. In other words, just a short period of time. He planned to be there and then go back. Can I say the devil entices us all the time into sin for just a short period of time? We don't understand the effects of it on our life, and we don't realize how much it impacts us, because the devil has us convinced that we can break free from it in just a short amount of time. And so he was talked into going into another country and to sojourn there. The word sojourn means for just a little time. We find out later that that little time ended up being 10 years. How many of you has ever been something? How many of you has ever gotten into something, and before you realize it, you're 10 years down the road in it? You're a lot farther along, and I need some help this morning. Y'all might as well raise your hand, shout at me, swing, whatever, shoot me a bird. I don't care. Whatever you got to do. I want somebody to wake up this morning. I really do. I can't tell you how bad I need somebody to wake up and help me this morning. Here they are. They're in another country. They've gone over there, and it's only for a little while was the game plan, but 10 years later, we're still there. And boy, that's a life of most people nowadays. They didn't want to get into it, but they did. And now they're in it, and they're in it a lot further than what they had planned to begin with. Verse number two, the Bible says, "And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion," or Chilion, I think is how it's pronounced. Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. So things started to turn. Now, he wasn't planning on being there long, but he ended up being there for 10 years. He never got to leave. The Bible didn't say after 10 years he decided he was heading back to Bethlehem, Judah. The Bible says that he died. And so Naomi here, now let me say this, because we've been dealing with this on Wednesday nights in the family. Naomi was a wife. Back in these days, a wife was submissive to the husband. Somebody say amen right there. We preach that nowadays and say that the wife's supposed to subject themselves to the husband. Everybody gets tore up and out of shape about it, but that's how God describes it in the Bible. You can go into the New Testament and find it. You can go in the Old Testament and find it, but that's how God instructed us to live in a state of submission. The Bible says that as Christ was submissive to God, so shall the man be submissive to Christ, and so shall the woman be in subjection to the man. And so God set the order, and he did that, I believe, in Colossians, maybe Galatians. But anyhow, the order was set. And here Naomi was following after her husband. She was doing what she was instructed to do. She was doing what she was commanded to do. How many of you has ever been there? How many has ever done exactly what you was told to do and got yourself into trouble? Yeah, I think about I almost had Jake sing the song, Your Cries Have Awoken the Master, because that is one of the things that goes on. Many times God instructs us to do something, and then we find ourselves in a storm. And here, Naomi was just doing what she was told to do. Her husband said go. She wasn't going to fight him and have a divorce over it. God said, he was the head of the home. He said, we're going to sojourn in Moab. She said, all right, I'll get the kids. 10 years later, he dies, dead, gone. Can you imagine what she's going through at this point? We go on in Scripture. The Bible says in verse number 4, and they took them wives, these two men she had. Let's go back to verse number 3 because I don't want to confuse you. The Bible says, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. The Bible says, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. It's going from bad to worse. Here we are, Naomi has listened to her husband. She's gone over into Moab, which she didn't necessarily, we don't know this, but more likely she didn't want to go. She's going into a pagan country. She goes over there, they sojourn, her husband dies, and she's left with her two sons, and they married pagan women. Hello. What was the song? I like my women just a little on the trashy side. That's a thought that I had while I was reading this. Don't act like you didn't think that. All right. Anyhow, here, Naomi, a God-fearing mama, a mama that prays, a mama that was in touch with the Lord, and now her sons are going out and marrying pagans. Probably heartbroken would be, come on now, probably heartbroken. You move right on along, and the Bible says that then the two sons died. Oh man, it's getting worse and worse. Not only she lost her husband, not only has her sons married pagans, but now the two boys have died, leaving her with two pagan daughter-in-laws. Can you say this? Can we all be in agreement with this? She suffered much loss. Going through a pile. It's tough when you're burying folk. It's tough when they loved ones and you're having to bury them. It's tough when you're having to put something aside, when you're having to walk away from something because of loss. Verse number 5, the Bible says, and the woman was left with her two sons and her husband, was left of her two sons and her husband. Verse number 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited the people, or his people, in giving them bread. So we see her desire to get back to where she come from. An opportunity comes, she heard that there was bread there, the famine was over, and so she moves on and takes the two daughter-in-laws with her, and they head back to Bethlehem, Judah. Now, let's fast forward a little bit. We find out that Orpah and Ruth both started off on this journey with them, but Naomi turns to them and says, look, you don't have to go with me. Go back to your mamas. I don't have any more sons for you to marry. I don't have anything else that I can give you. You go back to your mother. You go back to your families, and you live with my blessing. You live with my blessing. The Bible says that Orpah said, all right, I'm gone. And Orpah left. But Ruth said, I'm not going anywhere. You my family. You're all I got. You're all I need. I'm going with you, Naomi. So we fast forward through that passage of scripture and we come to verse number 19. The Bible says, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. This is Naomi and Ruth. And the Bible says, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them and they said, is this Naomi? It's kind of, can I say that, we'll get more into this in a little bit, but when you go through difficult things and when you go through losses, people don't even recognize you oftentimes. And I know she'd been gone for a while, but here, the people, as they watched her and Ruth come in, I can almost see it as, is this Naomi? For you see, Naomi's name means pleasant. There was a time when she, her character of her name shined through, and Naomi was pleasant to be around. But Naomi had buried a husband. Naomi had gone through difficult times in her life, and she had gone through marriages that she may not be exactly approving of. And then she'd watched her sons die. There ain't no doubt. Let me tell you what the devil does in all this. Yeah, it's your fault. Yeah, where's that God? Where's God at now? It's your fault. You didn't pray enough. It's your fault. You didn't raise them right. It's your fault. You should have been a better wife. It's your fault. You should have done this. It's your fault. You should have done that. He said, where's God at? This is what the devil likes to do. He likes to get up on you. Where's God at in all this? That God that you serve, that God that said he was going to do this, that God that promised this and promised that, I guess his promises wasn't to you, Naomi. I guess his promises was to everybody else. I guess his promises was to the drug addict down the street that's got a business that's still going well while you're fighting and tooth and nail and paying your tithes and everything you got's fixing to be gone. I need some help. Is anybody with me? Anybody ever had a devil mess with you like that? I couldn't imagine what this woman was going through. Oh, Naomi, the Sunday school teacher can't even get her kids to marry right. Oh, it got quiet there. What's the problem? Oh, bless God, my children are supposed to be different than yours. I forgot. My children ain't allowed to be children, just yours are. My children are supposed to be perfect. Help me. Come on now, I need some help. I tell you right now, my kids ain't perfect. Somebody, I need my wife to give an amen. She ain't even in here. She left out of the church. She's so wicked. She's out there smoking a cigarette right now. Trying to cope with how bad our kids are. Boy, I'm tell you what, the devil get all over you about how bad your children are. He'll get all over you about what you failed in and how you failed as a parent and how you failed as a Christian, how you failed as a leader. He's relentless. And it changes everything about us. Naomi had lost a husband. Naomi had lost children. Naomi had lost her integrity, she felt. No doubt, as many people would attack her as she walked back into town with this pagan girl. There ain't no doubt in my mind there was some Baptist there that was running their mouth about her. There was some Baptist that was putting it on Facebook about how she looked and how she was beat down and how God had dealt with her. The Bible says that when she come back into town, they didn't even recognize who she was. I said, is this Naomi? The Bible goes on and says in verse number 20, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi. What did I say Naomi meant? Pleasant. She said, don't call me pleasant. Don't call me pleasant. I've had my heart ripped out. Don't call me pleasant. Had everything taken from me while I was over in Moab. My husband died. My kids died. Had everything stole from me. Don't call me pleasant. She said, call me Mara. You know what Mara means? Bitter. Bitter. When we go through losses, I'll try to get through it. When we go through losses, oftentimes it brings bitterness because we don't understand. I remember my best friend, Kirk. His dad died. I was close to Brother Bobby. I didn't have a daddy in church, so Brother Bobby was that father figure to me. And I was in my 20s and lived enough to know that people are wicked. And I watched that man die, the greatest Christian I ever knew. There's not a preacher out there that I would put even anywhere on the same level as this man. Was he perfect? No. Hey, I think Brother Bobby was probably more like me. He was saved. But not all the way saved. Somebody help me right there. And what I mean by that is he liable to punch you in the mouth. But I grew up and I thought the world of him. I thought the world of a man. He was my hero. And anyhow, when he died, I got so bitter because I'd watched so many fake Christians. I'd seen so many. I got out of church. I didn't come back. I'd seen so many fake Christians. I seen people call themselves deacon that drink beer with me while I was out on the golf course. I'd seen people that taught Sunday school that cuss you out in a heartbeat. And I'm sitting there and they're living. They're living. And this man, who is the most godly man I've ever known in my life, is laying in a bed dying of cancer. Prayers, we begging God to save him. We begging God to heal him and have to watch him go from a big man down to basically nothing on a hospital bed and watch him die. I know what bitterness is. I know what being upset, not understanding. I couldn't even go back to church for a while. I couldn't deal with it. I couldn't understand why God would let him die and let other people that didn't care nothing for God live and mistreat people and do people wrong. I couldn't understand that. Bitter. Have you ever gotten bitter over a loss? Naomi was. She said, don't call me pleasant. Don't call me pleasant. You can call me Mara. I'm bitter. She says, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. Verse 21, and I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Anybody been there? Why then call ye me Naomi, or pleasant, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? She said, this thing's got so bad, God's against me. God is against me. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing more hopeless than to think that God is against you. Somebody's against you, so what? Somebody run their mouth and match, who cares? Somebody want to talk about you and your family, it ain't no big deal, you can recover from it. But when you start thinking that God, when you start thinking that God is against you, that's a hard place to recover from. Somebody help me right here. She says, the Almighty hath inflicted me. Verse number 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. It's real important that you keep that timeline of when they came back into Bethlehem, Judah. As I was looking at this, I had this thought, and I pray it, like I said, I pray it'll be a blessing to you, but I had the thought of beware of identity theft. Y'all ain't none of y'all understand this. Beware of identity theft. When I was looking at this passage of scripture, there was one thing that I noticed in verse number 20. The Bible says, "And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, but call me Mara." Beware of identity theft. Can I say this? That no matter what you go through in losses, it does not change who you are. I need some help right here. Though the circumstances around you may change some things in your life, you do not lose your identity because of who you are. Dalton, y'all go turn on some ACs, man. And people are fanning. I can't get the ACs right in here. I apologize for that. And we'll do our best to get it cold. Just set the AC on about 20, and let's see where that takes us, all right? And bless God, we don't want them too hot. We want them so cold they want to get up and move around. All right. And here, as I was looking at this, I want to say a few things. Many people, well, let me say all people, have to deal with losses. Loss is inevitable. You're going to deal with it in some place. If you hadn't already, you're going to. If you have, and you, some of you may be dealing with it now, some of you is dealing with it in the past, but some of you may say, well, I ain't dealt with it yet, but you're going to. It's inevitable. And many people try to avoid that pain. We try to avoid all those things, that all those emotions that go along with it, because we don't want to have to go through it. We don't want to have to feel the rejection. We don't want to have to feel the pain of it. And so we try to avoid it. We try to avoid places that remind us of our losses. We try to avoid songs that remind us. We've got some folks in here that's dealt with some difficult things, and some of our choir songs, they struggle with it. As soon as a choir song comes on, they come down to the altar, and y'all, oh, here they go again. You don't realize, you don't know what they're going through. While you're sitting there, and you got everything together in your life, they're dealing with a loss, and that song reminds them of a loss. Brother Bobby, his favorite song is "I Stand Redeemed." Every time that song is played, my mind goes back to Bobby Branch. Every time Jake sings it, it goes right back to Bobby Branch. Say, well, they need to get right with God. You need to get right with God. Dealing with loss and avoiding it ain't going to help you. Avoiding it ain't going to help you through it. I want you to notice three things about loss, and I'll try to get done because it's already 12 o'clock. But I want to try. I'll try to give them to you fast, but I may not get through it. I ain't gonna lie to you. I want you to notice. First off, don't allow loss to detain you. Loss is inevitable, but do not allow loss to detain you. Don't allow loss to keep you in a place where you can't get help. Here, if Naomi would have stayed in the place that she was at, she never would have gotten the help that she needed to get through. She come back. I need some help right here this morning. If you go and look in your book, in your Bible, you'll find out in the book of Ruth that her life was richly blessed in the end, but it never would have happened had she stayed in the place of her loss. I'm not telling you to get over it. Lord knows I'm not telling you that. Don't avoid it. It's all right to cry. It's all right to go through loss. Jesus himself wept for Lazarus. It's all right for us to spend the time of mourning, but do not allow loss to detain you from God's purpose in your life. Man, loss does this to us. Loss gets a hold of us, and we have to go through a loss. It disheartens us. I'm talking about it distorts the truth. It disheartens our life. The spirit of it disheartens us. We start feeling no hope. We start feeling like we've been dealt a bad hand. We start feeling like all the cards are stacked against us. We start feeling like God's taking out his vengeance on us. And the devil's all too welcome to stand there on your shoulder and say, yep, you're right about that. Oh, God, why do you not like me? The devil's saying, yeah, I've been telling you that for years. Oh, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Because he don't love you. Oh, man, the devil's good at this stuff.
Oh yeah, he knows how to play this game. I promise you, this is a game that he's very, very good at and very skilled at. You cannot allow loss to detain you. You can't allow it to keep you in that place. You've got to move on. Naomi, the Bible says, and they too, in verse number 19, and they too went until they came to Bethlehem. She knew she had to get back to the place where God was. I need some help this morning. She had to get back to the place where she had found God. She had to leave where she was at. She had to get away from her loss and get back to the place where she knew God was at. The Bible says that she went back to Bethlehem, Judah, and she took somebody with us. Can I say, don't allow loss to detain you from God's placement, but don't allow God loss to detain you from God's people. She was in a pagan land. What's a pagan going to do to help her out? Oh, come over here, we'll light some candles. Oh, come over here, we'll light some incense, and we'll pray to this little wooden dude that I got sitting on the shelf over here. Come over here, I got this golden image. We'll throw it up over here on an altar and we'll just pray to it because it'll help you. No! She had to get back to God's people too. Can I say this morning? The devil wants nothing more than to get you out of fellowship with those around you. He wants nothing more than to get you out of this church, because if he can get you away from godly people, he can get you away from God. He's doing his best to drag you down. He's doing his best to drag you away from this church. Loss has said, loss has dictated in your mind that there's no hope. Loss has told you that there's no help for you. When God's put his people in place, God's got a place for you. Don't allow loss to detain you. Because the devil wants nothing more than to keep you out of the will of God and keep you away from the people of God. Can I say this? It wasn't a message that brought me back to church. Help me. It wasn't a message that brought me back to church. If I can just get them under good preaching, they'll get saved. It wasn't a message that brought me back to church. It was a wife that lived godly in front of me that brought me back to church. Amen. It was people that loved me enough to care about me and say something. Hey, why don't you come back to church? It was people that loved me enough that wanted me in fellowship with them, say, hey, won't you come to church with us? Don't lessen the power of God's people. Don't allow loss to detain you from God's placement, from God's people. You can find help with God's people. You can find hope with God's people. Not only that, but don't allow loss to define you. This is where the whole thing got in. She come back and they said, is that Naomi? Verse number 20, it says, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. See, in her mind, she was no longer Naomi. Your problems and your losses has not changed who you are. I need some help right here. They ain't changed who you are. They're difficult. Difficulties come. I'm not taking anything away from that. But don't let them define you. Don't let it define you. If she had let her loss define her, she would have died bitter. Is everybody hearing me this morning? If you allow this loss to define you, then you will die miserable. Don't let it define who you are. You ain't changed. There ain't nothing about you that changed. God, hey, there's a season. Somebody help me right here. For everything, there is a season. There's a time to live. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. For everything, there is a season. You're not in control of those seasons. I just want to help y'all out with that. If you hadn't noticed, Mother Nature ain't in control of the seasons either. Somebody say amen. We're going to have 70-degree weather this week. Hallelujah. God's in control of it. God knows the seasons. You and I don't. That's why you ought to love your mama more. Many of y'all don't know this, but Wednesday night as I stood up and preached, my mama was in the hospital. My mama went in and they had to put four stents in her heart.
That's to go along with the three or whatever she's already had. I don't know how. My mama's just a walking whatever. It's all metal in there, I reckon. I wasn't going to go to the conference. Matter of fact, I wasn't going to preach Wednesday night. My first thought was I'm going to Brunswick to be with my mama while she's in the hospital. I wonder if you could see the future and you knew how long you had with them, how would you treat them differently? Thoughts crossed my mind. Whole time I drove up there Thursday, I was thinking about my mama. I was getting updates from my sister. She's a nurse, and she went and stayed with mama and walked me through the whole thing, what was going on and everything with her. But I was sure worried. Somebody help me right here. I got to thinking thoughts like this. Is it my mama's time? And am I going to be standing here once again in church while something going on in my family? I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes serving the Lord is the hardest thing that I do. Torn between trying to help you and trying to be with my family. Trying to help you and trying to be with somebody that I feel needs me. Naomi, she didn't allow, thank God, she didn't allow her loss to define her. Don't allow your loss to define you. Losses affect our countenance. Losses affect our conversation. Losses affect our conduct. Naomi couldn't have hit it if she wanted to. Can I say that? Can I say that we see that you're hurting? But don't allow it to define who you are. God's eyes on the sparrow, how much more is his eye upon you? Oh, I need some help right here. Y'all need to get with the Lord right here. God ain't forgot who you are, where you are. Don't let a loss in your life define who you are. If Naomi would have allowed it to happen, she would have stayed bitter the rest of her life. We see, don't allow a loss to detain you. Don't allow a loss to define you. Lastly, don't allow a loss to deprive you. Don't allow a loss to deprive you. Satan's real good at using a loss to detain us and keep us out of God's will. He's real good at using losses to keep us from doing what God's purpose is for our life and detaining us in a place of misery. He's real good at creeping up on our shoulders and redefining who we are, telling you how worthless you are, telling you that it was your fault, telling you that all this happened because of you, but a loss doesn't define you. But don't let a loss deprive you. See, losses, they're used by God to position us for our purpose. Chapter number 2 and verse number 4. The Bible says this. It says, and behold, Boaz. Well, we can go in chapter at the end of verse number 22 of chapter 1. It says, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. We go on in verse number 4 and it says, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, Lord bless thee. I want you to notice two things here. One, Naomi and them, their time, and they got to the right place. Can I get a witness right there? The Bible says it was during the Harley time, or during the Harley or the barley harvest. Sorry, got it on my mind right now. I will be riding it this afternoon. But anyhow, they come during the barley harvest. So the timing of it. But we also see that Boaz come down to the fields at a time. I mentioned earlier that there God works by divine appointments, and you're here by divine appointment this morning. But God made sure that Naomi and Ruth were back in Bethlehem. God made sure that Ruth was in a field. God made sure that Boaz came down from Bethlehem. God made sure that Boaz seen Ruth in that field gleaning. God will use a loss in mine and your life to position us for his purpose. Now, if you know your Bible any, you know that Ruth was the great-grandmother of David. Pretty important deal.
pretty important. He was a pretty important dude in the Bible for you millenniums. He was an important part of our history. And the Bible, matter of fact, says that the throne of David would never end. It would be everlasting, and that Jesus would come through that. And I want you to remember this, because losses position us for our purpose. What you're going through in life is nothing more. God will take the loss that you're going through to move you into divine purpose. You think that everything in your life is over. You think that it's through. You think you can't go on. And God said, no, it's just beginning. I've got something planned for you, and you would not have left there if he... Oh, I need some help right here. You would have never left Moab if Elimelech was still alive. You would have never left Moab if both of them boys were still alive. He said them boys had to... Their season had to be over to move you into your purpose. God's moving you. He's positioning you for your purpose, and he does it through losses. It ain't comfortable. It ain't easy. It ain't nothing that we enjoy having to go through, but God is positioning you for his purpose. Not only that, but loss, listen here, provokes our potential. It provokes our potential. Do you realize here, as far as Naomi was concerned, life was over. I need some help this morning. Y'all, hey, get with me. Life was over as far as she was concerned. Her husband had died. Her boys had married out of their native. They had married pagan, and now her boys are dead. Life is over. She told the girls, hey, y'all go back to your mamas. I ain't got nothing more to offer you. Goodness. I'll just get some help from it, all right? Hey, go back to your mamas, because I ain't got nothing more I can give you. I've got nothing more to offer you. I'm done. I'm through. I'm bitter. I'm done. Naomi, I'm not Naomi anymore. I'm not present anymore. I'm bitter. I have nothing more to offer you. You just go back where you came from. Ruth said, I ain't leaving you. Ruth said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to stay with you. Let me. Can I read something to you? Here, listen to what Ruth said, or what was said about Ruth. The Bible says in verse number 15 of chapter 4, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine own age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, have borne him. Ruth said, I ain't going nowhere. I love you, Naomi. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to do... Hey, listen. Loss provokes. What do we say? It provokes our potential. She was done. Finished. Over. I don't want nothing else to do. I'm through. I don't want anything else to go on. God said, nope. Nope. That little Moabitess, she's going to tag along with you. She's going to go right back over there in Bethlehem, Judah. And you're going to have to teach her some things, Naomi. You go into chapter number 2 when she comes home with all that barley that she had collected. She come home with enough barley for them to eat and some for them to put away. And Naomi said, what in the world is this all about? She says, I went to a field today and I met a man named Boaz, and that man told me that I could come to that field all that I wanted to. And he told his men to leave me some extra out there in that field. She said, woo! He's one of our kinsmen. He's a close kinsman redeemer. Hey, let me tell you what you're going to do. And she instructed her in chapter number 3 how to win the heart of Boaz and how to get Boaz, that kinsman redeemer, to claim her. But Naomi was done. She was through. I don't want nothing more to do with it. Then Naomi said, whoa, whoa, hey, God, wait a minute. Wait a minute. God's working here. Wait a minute. God's doing something here. Wait a minute. God's showing up right here. Hey, let me tell you what you need to do. Ruth, don't know. Hey, God has shined down on us. God has smiled on us. God is blessing us. Go back into that field, Ruth. Let me tell you what you do. Oh, God will use a loss to provoke us. Oh, this is good stuff. God will use a loss to provoke us to our potential. God will use a loss to prepare us for profit. Oh, God will use a loss to prepare us for profit. I think the problem in society today, I've said it a million times, but I think the problem in society today is we're not grateful for anything. We're not. We're not grateful for anything. God provides something for us, we act as if it was us who did it. We got a job, we act like it's based on our merit. Do you realize, I don't care how good you are, your job can be gone tomorrow. I need an amen from somebody that suffered job loss, not because they were sorry, not because they wasn't doing their job, but because divine intervention, whatever the case may be, God said no more job. Oftentimes, we're not thankful enough for the things that God's given us. We got to have a new car. I tell this youngin' right here all the time, something tear up on the car, and he said, "Daddy, it's gonna cost $400." I just think I need to get a new truck. $400? That ain't one car payment. Somebody help me right here. Youngin' got a paid off vehicle. Talking about $400 gonna kill me. No, $400 ain't gonna kill. Trust me. You want to talk about killing? Go buy you a $50,000 truck and have that truck payment for the next 7-8 years. We live in a society. Something tears up, we're going, instead of fixing it, oh, I need some help right here. I bet most of you ain't even got good china in the house. You got paper plates or styrofoam. I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. Yeah, why? Because it's easier to throw it away and get something new than it is to take some time and fix it or clean it up. Hello. And oftentimes we won't fix a relationship. We won't clean up a relationship. Oh, I know it's good. They ain't liking it. The Holy Spirit is so right up in your face right now, and you ain't wanting none of it. We don't want to fix that relationship. We don't want to clean it up. We don't want to care for it and take care of it, because it's easier just to throw it in the trash and go find a new one. And so God uses the loss of somebody that we wanted to repair with, somebody that we wanted to fix, somebody that we wanted to clean it up, and He takes them out of our life, and it about brings us to our knees. It brings us to our knees. But oh, it has a way of making us appreciate what's left behind. You ever had your mama taken away from you? You got closer to your daddy. Had your daddy taken away from you? Closer to your mama. Had somebody in your family lose a child and you got closer to yours? I need some help right here, y'all. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? Loss prepares us for profit. If God just gave and gave and gave and gave and gave, we wouldn't appreciate it. Say, yes, I would. Let me try it on me. He does. He gives you every day. He gives you breath to breathe. Every day He gives you an opportunity to get out of the bed and walk. Every day He gives you an opportunity to call a loved one and tell them that you love them. Every day He gives you an opportunity to worship Him. Every day He gives you opportunities to do good things. And we take them for granted. We live in a house. Oh, bless God, I worked hard to get this house. God allowed you to have that house. Elijah, one of the greatest prophets out there, and he lived by a brook. Elijah, one of the greatest prophets out there, and he had to walk everywhere he went. He didn't have a Chevrolet. Elijah, one of the greatest prophets out there, he had to, listen to me, he lived with a widow woman. I bet that was good in town. That preacher man shacked up over there with that old woman. Yeah, hey. Just saying. Don't measure God's blessings by what you have. Oh, I'm finna show you something right here. Because see, the devil has the same blessings. Yep. Do you know that some of the richest people in this world are atheists? Some of the richest people in this world don't want absolutely nothing to do with God whatsoever. The man that did the Facebook, what's his name? Yeah, that guy. Atheist. Millionaire.
Tell me again how God's blessing you because you got a little bit of money. Tell me again how God's blessing you because you got a little bit of money. I just want you to see both sides of it. Loss prepares us for profit. And lastly, loss proclaims us as God's people. Don't allow loss to deprive you. Loss positions us for God's purpose. Loss provokes us to our potential. Loss prepares us for profit. But loss proclaims us as God's people. Chapter number 4, verse number 13, the Bible says, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said," the same women that says, "Is this Naomi?" Don't miss this. Remember chapter 1? All the women said, "Is this Naomi?" The Bible says in chapter number 4 in verse 14, "And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel." Oh, I like it. "Hey, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life." I'm liking it even more. "And a nourisher of thine own age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him." And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. Naomi said it was over. Naomi said, "I can't do this anymore. Go back to your mama. I'm done. I'm through. It's over. I can't do that. I can't deal with this anymore. I've had too much, too many losses." Ruth said, "I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. I love you too much." And then we read in the Bible in chapter number 4 as Naomi held that little baby named Obed, who gave birth to a son named Jesse, who gave birth to a son named David. Blessed of the Lord. Blessed of the Lord. Can I say that loss proclaims you as one of God's people? Amen. Naomi completely changed. "God hath afflicted me," to "God has blessed me." "God hath afflicted me," to "God has dealt kindly with me." Don't allow loss to detain you. Don't allow a loss to define you. Lastly, what was it? Don't allow a loss to deprive you. Some of you going through the most difficult time in your life in 2016. Some of you going through some difficult times already in 2017. Don't allow loss to keep you from God's placement, God's people. Don't allow loss to define who you are. You ain't changed. Listen to me. You have not changed. You have done nothing wrong. It's not because of you. Her character, the name she was given, was pleasant. Be who God wanted you to be. I need some help right here. Be who God wants you to be. Don't you allow loss to tell you who you are. And don't you allow loss to keep you from blessings of God. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for this morning. Folks are coming around the altar. You come do business with God. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.